తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం. ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. జయ శ్రీల ప్రభుత్వ జయ శ్రీల భగవత్ గోవింద మాది పురుషం తమం భజామి. నమో మహాపదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ పదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరపిషే నమః. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబిసెన్సెస్ అండర్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య చైతన్య మహాప్రభు, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, and that is Krishna Prema Bhakti. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sanga Panga Astra Pashadam Yajnahi Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedhasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, offering special prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. నానా శాస్త్ర విచారణైక నిపుణౌ షడ్ ధర్మ సంస్థాపకౌ లోకానాం హితకారిణౌ త్రిభువనే మాన్యౌ శరణ్యాకరౌ రాధా కృష్ణ పదారవింద భజన ఆనందేన మత్తాలికౌ వందే రూప సనాతన రఘుయుగౌ శ్రీ జీవ గోపాలకౌ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబిసెన్స్ అండర్ ద సిక్స్ గోస్వామిస్, నేమ్లీ శ్రీ సనాతన్ గోస్వామి, శ్రీ రూప గోస్వామి, శ్రీ రఘునాథ్ భట్ గోస్వామి, శ్రీ రఘునాథ్ దాస్ గోస్వామి, శ్రీ జీవ గోస్వామి అండ్ శ్రీ గోపాల్ భట్ గోస్వామి, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mode of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరోం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. జయ శ్రీరూప జయ శ్రీరూప గోవింద పాది పురుషం తమం భజామి. హరే కృష్ణ. Hare Krishna everyone, please accept my humble obeisances. All to Srila Prabhupada, welcome back. So wonderful to see you back again. It's so nice actually. When I see all of your names there, I really feel very, very encouraged, really kind of empowered to speak to you in your company. Hare Krishna. So we've been hearing from Paramatma Sandarbha, Sri Paramatma Sandarbha of Sri Jiva Goswami. We heard previous week about the manifestation of the universe by Paramatma's external potency, and very clearly we understood that while the effect, that is the effect of the cause is Paramatma, the effect of this universe is completely non-different from the cause, and yet the cause Paramatma is not necessarily same as the effect, and that we saw very, very nicely, clearly, and that is the inconceivable potency of Paramatma, that Paramatma remains unchanged, immutable. What is change? Because cause usually, when it's transformed into effect, the cause also gets transformed normally. But here, no. And that is the inconceivable potency of Paramatma. What really changes is the Paramatma's external potency, specifically the primordial material nature pradhana. That is what really undergoes modification. No. So, and then previously we also discussed at length Sri Jiva Goswami discussing about the different philosophies, Vivartavada, which is the philosophy of the radical Advaitavada philosophy or Mayavada philosophy, which is completely against the Vaishnava philosophy based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So we discuss at such length, so deeply, and very arguments and counter-arguments, how Srila Jiva Goswami defeats Vivartavada philosophy. So at that point I told you actually that this week, in fact today, we will hear why it is so, why it is so important to study Paramatma Sandarbha, even though it's full of such deep philosophy, which is at times quite difficult to understand, but that is what is rewarding here. Here today we will understand clearly the significance, the importance of why we should study Paramatma Sandarbha. So if we can begin now, so what I'm going to display the PowerPoint, just give me a second. Showing that again today. I don't know why. I hope it's working now. Good. Wonderful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada. So you can see in this slide that we've been discussing the third theme, lessons 10 to 21, 48 to 104, the ontology of Maya, Krishna's external potency. And we already covered lessons 11 through 17. And now today we are discussing 18th lesson, and that is text 82 to 92. And the theme of this lesson theme is Maya's relationship to both the Jiva and Paramatma. So here, in this slide that you see here, the main thematic point of today's discussion is this, how the living entity, the Jiva, comes into bondage and how Jivas could be released also from the Maya's three modes of material nature. Furthermore, the universe is not a creation of the Jiva's ignorance, as per the Mayavadi doctrine, Mayavadi philosophy, what they are saying, the universe is as a result of the upadhi that affects Brahman, and because of that, the avidya potency of Maya, because of that, the Brahman undergoes this transformation, and that's why what they are saying, this universe is not real reality, it's an illusion, only Brahman is the reality. It's completely refuted here, actually. So it is the manifestation of the external potency of Paramatma, this manifestation of universe. So there is really no necessity for the Jiva's enlightenment by its release from Maya. So that's what the Mayavadi says, that this Jiva really as a result of Brahman coming under the upadhi of the Maya's external, this Maya, because of that, the avidya potency of Maya, then Brahman becomes transformed into Jiva and the universe both as a result of that. And the Jiva, so part of Brahman becomes transformed into Jiva and the universe, and part of Brahman remains as it is. And Jiva, the Brahman that is converted into Jiva can revert back by Jiva becoming by the Brahman realization by studying Vedanta philosophy as well as practicing austerities and penance, and that's what they are saying is because of that. But and that's the reason why they say this universe is really not a reality, it's just an illusion, only Brahman, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But here Jiva Goswami is showing us that it is by the base on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam that Jiva's enlightenment by its release from Maya is not necessary by that, as we'll see it at great length actually. It is not just by studying Vedanta Jiva can become purified. No, not really. So what is really with the universe as an object of separate enjoyment? Separate enjoyment in the sense free from the Supreme Lord, independent of the Supreme Lord, Jiva, when he wants to enjoy material enjoyment, and that's the reason why he is in this universe. So this is possible by understanding the misidentification between the Atma and the I consciousness. So it's very important for us to understand what is I consciousness. So let me, I think we discussed at length quite a bit deeply before, but for the today's discussion, it's very important that we are clear about what we meant by I consciousness, Aham Tattva. So there are two kinds of Aham Tattva. There's an authentic one, a real one, and then there is an illusory one. The authentic one is called what's called Aham Brahmasmi. This is on the spiritual level, transcendental, that I am spirit soul. spiritual identity of the self, but on an illusory status, because of the Maya's influence, then that aham bhav, aham tattva, I, me and mine, and that is the ahankara, the false identification of the self with this material universe or material body, you know. So that is not the desirable, that's the there's the false, it's called false ego, you know. So that is what we are meaning here, the ahankar. And ahankar, it is really the upadhi because of the maya, you know, maya's avidya potency. So it is indeed because of the maya's avidya potency. There is a reason why the jiva becomes under that illusion, comes to this ahankara, and he misidentifies self with this physical body and the universe around that. So this, as I said, this is the product of maya. So indirectly actually is the product of the Paramatma also, because Paramatma, the maya belongs to Paramatma's external potency. Alright? So that we must become very clear before we move forward. Okay, so now we, so as I said, this today's lesson is between the verses 82 to 92. So we are going to discuss quite a few. So what I would like you to keep in mind is basically in two parts actually. One, first part is between verses 82 to 84, and the second part is this Vidura's questions and Maitreya Muni's answers to that. So here, text 82 to 84, here the theme is here, the jiva is covered by maya, but realization of Paramatma alone can liberate the jiva, and that is the ultimate resolution. Because this is unlike, this is completely refusal, refute to Mayavadi philosophy. They say that only by Brahman realization, by studying Vedanta, so getting the true knowledge, then jiva can become free, you know. But that is not sufficient here, what we are going to hear about that. That it is not necessary that jiva can become liberated only when jiva becomes realized by Paramatma alone. So getting this knowledge of Vedanta is not enough, because knowledge ultimately also, that we will hear, is also a potency of maya, because maya is vidya potency, sattva guna, the mode of goodness, material mode of goodness, because sattvam sanjayate jnana. So that knowledge also is actually the influence of maya. So that is by itself, how can it become, how can the jiva can become free, you know? So to prove that point, here Sukadeva Jiva Goswami actually quoting this series of verse, is from the 12th canto Srimad Bhagavatam chapter and text 32 onwards, several verses actually. So here this is the dialogue taking place between Vidur Mahatma and Maitreya Muni. Actually that's what we are going to hear a little later. Here Sukadeva Goswami is actually giving the final instructions to Parikshit Maharaj in the 12th canto, you know, and showing here. So this is the verse he begins. So Vidur Mahatma actually asking Maitreya Muni, but how the bondage of jiva can be possible at all? That is the third canto, you know. And the latter is superior to maya. Is much more superior to maya, because jiva is an energy of the Lord, conscious energy, where maya is the Lord actually. So in that way jiva is superior, you know. But yet the jiva comes under the control of maya, so how is that possible? That is the question of Vidur Mahatma to Maitreya Muni. In fact, he asks series of questions. There are eight questions. And Maitreya Muni is going to answer him, beginning with verse 90 through 92, you know. So so here, one of the, this quotation, Jiva Goswami quotes, but Sukadeva Goswami giving the instructions to Parikshit Maharaj. So here this is that verse. This is the 12th canto, 4th chapter, text 32. Yatha ghano ark prabhavo ark darshito. Okay. Here akasha bhutasya cha chakshustamaha evam tva aham brahma gunastha gunastad ikshito. Brahmamsha, brahmamsha ka, it means the amsha, means the portion of Brahma, Brahman. Brahmamsha asya atmana, atma bandana. So the translation here, just as a dense cloud, yatha, just as ghana, actually the Sanskrit meaning of ghana means something which is dark. But here ghana means it's a dark cloud, you know. So just like the dark cloud is actually the formation of the sun. Sun's heat energy, which evaporates the ocean water and becomes cloud. And that cloud, so ghana arka, arka means sun. Prabhu or sun's heat energy. And that's how arka darshito. So cloud itself is the energy production of the sun. And that cloud blocks our vision of the sun. We cannot see the sun because of the cloud blocking our vision of the sun, you know. And the eyes itself is also tama, this adhikar, the darkness, that is removed by seeing the sun. But sun's vision is blocked by the cloud, which itself is due to the energy of the sun. And even being able to see, that also comes from the sun, because unless there is sunlight, we can't see anything at all. Otherwise, it is all darkness, tama, you know. So, same way, evam, the same way, tva, but, aham. So, here this aham bhava, ahankara, is mentioned here. That is due to this brahma guna. So, that is due to this brahman, paramatma here. And that is the quality of that, because it belongs to the Paramatma's external potency Maya, you know. And because of that, tadikshito, we can see that. So we can see, and Brahmamsha, it is the portion of Brahman, sankasya atmana, and that itself becomes the bondage, atma bandhana. Because the lack of Paramatma realization. So here is the full translation. Just as a dense cloud, though covered by the heat of the sun and made visible by the light of the sun, obstructs the eye. So it's a very nice analogy that is showing us that why we cannot see the sun. It is blocked, our vision of the sun is blocked by the sun's own production of cloud, you know. And even being able to see is also that potency also comes from the sun. So that sun itself has a dual function. It blocks as well as enable us to see, actually, no? So same way, so cloud is actually a part of the sun, you know. So that keeps us beholding from beholding the sun. So the same way this false ego that I just mentioned to you, this ambha, ankara, false ego, that itself is an attribute of Brahman. Just like cloud is an attribute of the sun. So Brahma guna, because it belongs to the Krishna, or Paramatma's external potency, Maya. And that illuminates by it, tadikshito, you know. Because it is the authentic eye consciousness, I'm Brahmasmi, that is the one enables us to do that. So that is replaced by this ahankara, you know, the false ego or the undesirable eye consciousness that obstructs the individual atma, which is an integral part of Brahman, obviously, from realizing Brahman. So see, the Brahman's own potency, Brahma guna, that's a true identity, eye consciousness, which is converted into false eye consciousness, you know, the ahankara, that is now blocking the vision of Brahman. That is blocking our realization of Brahman. That is why. So it's a very nice way showing how the jiva comes under the illusion and comes under the ignorance, no? Alright? So again the verse, yatha ghano arka prabhavo arka darshito. Here akasha bhutasya cha sa chakshushas tamaha. Evan tva aham brahma gunas tad ikshito brahmamsha. Brahmamsha means a portion of brahmamsha. This is ahankara, the true identity, true ahankara, I'm sorry, true high consciousness, authentic one, comes from Brahman. And that is just modified into ahankara. So that and that is the one which causes this bondage, atma bandhana, you know. So just as a dark, dense cloud, through generated by the heat of the sun and made visible by the light of the sun, obstructs the eye, which is itself the part of the sun. The being able to see anything is possible by sunlight. Unless there is sunlight, we can't see anything. So the same way the ego, which is an attribute of the Brahman, Brahma Guna, and illuminated by it, Tadikshito, obstructs the individual Atma, the false ego, which is an integral part of Brahman, from realizing Brahman, is the potency of Maya actually, no? So the sun can perform contrary functions, as I just mentioned a minute ago, both revealing and covering. So clouds are produced by the heat of the sun and they cover the vision of our eyes, right? So which are also the energy of the sun. The clouds covers the object, whereas sunlight reveals it, although both are the energies of the same sun. However, when these clouds are dispersed by the wind, the sun is then directly revealed. Similarly, when one gives up the identification of phenomenal eye consciousness, then the false ego when gives up, and that is possible only by the realization of Paramatma, not just by removing this false knowledge, you know, jnana, by being enlightened by the Vedanta, that itself is not enough, you know. So when one gives up this false identification of this high consciousness, you know, the false ego, the undesirable ahankara, undesirable aham tattva, as opposed to the true icon, the aham brahmasmi, spiritual identification. So now this I consciousness is based on this physical body, based on this material nature. So which is rooted in our separate desire for enjoyment, you know. Why we come into this false ego? Because we wanted to enjoy this material enjoyment, material universe, independent of the Supreme Lord, you know. That's why. So it embraces one's true self-identity as a servant of Paramatma. Immediate awareness of Paramatma comes to light. So when we become realized here, you know, so this verse we are going to see, the next verse also we are going to see, which further illuminates this point. So Jiva Goswami is here continues to refute Vivartavada. So actually this verses that is quoting from the 12th canto, indirectly he is showing how the Vivartavada philosophy is also being refuted here. Again, to remind you again what Vivartavada says, that this Brahman becomes Jiva because the upadhi of the material nature, Maya, and he can, that Brahman can be reverted back by Jiva becoming enlightened by the study of Vedanta. So that means Brahman realization, you know. But this is not enough. Here we are seeing, Jiva Goswami is saying that is not just necessary, you know. What we require is to achieve Paramatma realization here. just getting the knowledge, because sattvam sanjaya, so that is also part of maya actually, the jnanas, the mode of material goodness. So here Sukadeva Goswami is again speaking to Parishad Maharaj, and this is the next verse actually. This is the this is the Ghano Yad Ark Prabhavo Vidir Yate Chakshusho Swarupam Ravim Ikshate Tada Yatha Yada Ahanka Yatha Hi Ahankara Upadhir Atmano Jignasaya Nashati Tarhi Anusmaret. Now here this verse is very, very important for us to understand. So let's take a few more minutes to really correctly understand this verse actually, you know. So here, the translation here, as soon as the cloud generated by the sun is scattered, remember the cloud itself, previous verse we saw, the cloud which is the manifestation of the sun itself, sun's heat energy evaporating the ocean water, and there's a cloud is formed, right? And that cloud is blocking our being able to see the sun by our eyes. And that itself also is because of the sun. Without sunlight, we can't see. So both ways, sun's vision is being blocked, you know. So similarly, when the self-agent, this upadhi of this phenomenal means this bodily conception of ahankara, I consciousness, aham tattva, as opposed to the true I consciousness, which is based on spiritual consciousness, aham brahmasmi. So this ahankara is destroyed when by inquiry, jignasaya. So see, when you inquire, actually English word doesn't do the justice here. Inquire is a passive inquiry. We are not talking about passive inquiry. Jignasa means really intense inquiry, active inquiry into Paramatma. And that is why what I was telling you last week, that by studying Paramatma Sandarbha, that is what we meant by really actively trying to understand how Paramatma functions, you know, and how Paramatma's Maya works. Maya is the one which controls Maya, Jiva, but Maya cannot control Paramatma. In fact, Maya herself is being controlled, regulated by Paramatma. So that is what we are going to see. So that is possible not by just simply becoming enlightened by Brahman or by Vedanta study, by actually Paramatma realization, and that is by the devotional service. That is what we call Jignasaya, you know. So the self becomes fixed in remembrance, Tahi Anusmarat, of its own essential nature and Paramatma. So here, see that Gano Yada Arka Prabhu, just as this Gano means the cloud, dense cloud, and that is produced by the sun's heat energy, Vidiriyate, what is the Vidiriyate? Vidiriyate means dispersed. So before we saw the sun's vision is being blocked by the cloud, now we are talking about how the sun itself can remove that itself, you know, wind. So wind disperses wind disperses the cloud actually. Vidiriyate means dispersal. And then Chakshu Swarupam, and then by the inherent potency of the eyes gets restored. Then Ravim Ikshate, Ravi means the sun. Then we can see the sun. Same way, Tada. So that's the analogy again given. How a sun's vision can be restored back again by dispersing the clouds by the wind, and the eyes can again restore its vision of the sun. So same way, Yada, he Ahankara, indeed, this Ahankara, the false ego, which is the upadhi, which is the delimitation of this atmas, the jeeves, you know, upadhi, can be restored, removed by simply jignasaya, by the intense inquiry of Paramatma, and that will nashyati, that will destroy remove this upadhi, upadhi will be destroyed, and we can restore anusmaran, we can remember again our Paramatma's realization. You know, there is a point here. So essential nature and of Paramatma. So in our conditioned state, we have no power to free ourselves. So see, we can very clearly see, just because when we study Vedanta, that is not enough. Simply knowing that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, that is not enough. That's called Atmajnana. We have to realize that we are the servant of Paramatma, we are meant to serve Paramatma in a devotional way. That is what we require, Chittasaya. So by bhakti, developing bhakti, that is possible. Just Atmajnana, just knowing that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, that is called Jivan Mukta. Even we have physical body, we can become liberated from material existence. But that is not enough here, what this verse is saying there, you know. It is saying actually we have to, so Jivan Mukta is the preliminary stage. It is necessary but not enough. First we have to get that ABC, that we are not this body. ABC of bhakti means we are not this body, we are spirit soul. But then the next level of realization must come also, that we are meant to serve Paramatma, you know, the Supreme Lord actually. That is what ultimately removes this upadhi, you know, of this ahankara. Then we can restore the authentic I consciousness, that we are spirit soul, you know. We are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is the point actually, what Jiva Goswami is driving here, you know. So in our conditioned state, we have no power to free ourselves, even upon being enlightened, because of knowledge is also part of Maya. See, that's what the Mayavadis are saying, that simply studying the Vedanta, you can come to this Brahman relation. No, that's not enough. So that's refuted right here. That sattva guna, material mode of goodness, is also is the potency of Maya. So the problem, what's the real problem is here, is the level of the depth of this, how deep this ahankara is there. There is about, because this ahankara, mano buddhi ahankara, first mind, then superior to mind is intelligence, and even superior to intelligence in this ahankara. So ahankara is much more deep rooted actually, you know. So that takes much much greater effort to remove, to dissolve this ahankara. That's the point. So let me, one other point I have to make here. So yatha yada hi ahankara upadhir atmano jignasaya nashyati tadhi anusmaret, you know. So the superficial covering of the self, this ahankara, that is removed only by the process, jignasaya, means this active inquiry, you know. And that is what I mean, deep study of Paramatma Sandarbha. That's what the point I'm trying to drive at, that really a conscious effort to study how Maya operates, how Paramatma controls Maya, and how Maya actually conditions we, the jivic entity. But that also we are going to learn in this today's lesson, that our bondage is not real. That's the most important and very interesting point that we need to understand, that our bondage is also not real. It's also illusory actually. It's just apparent, not real. And so it means that we can become liberated. That's the point actually Jiva Goswami is developing all the way up to verse 92, okay? So we are going to go step by step. But I want to keep that in mind, how, what's ultimately what we are going to go, you know. So then another verse actually, this is the Shuka, Shukadeva Goswami now concludes his instruction to Parikshit Maharaj. And this is the verse, yad evam etena living in the eye. This is the verse 12:434 actually, I should have mentioned that. The next verse, the previous verse, and there's the following verse. Yad evam etena, etena means this. Now we'll see what is this. Viveka hetina, maya maya ahankarana atma bandhanam. So it's a really composite word, composite phrase of several words actually. Composite of several words. Chitva achyuta atmana anubhavo avatishtate. That is also composite of several words. So we need to break the sandhi to understand that. And that's what I'm going to try to do that, okay? So knowledge of Sanskrit really is very, very helpful here, you know. How to break sandhi. Otherwise Sanskrit seems like it's very difficult, but it's really not that difficult. If you understand how to break the sandhi, how to break composite words into individual words, then the meaning automatically becomes revealed, you know. So chitva achyuta atmana anubhavo avatishtate. So I am reading, breaking while breaking the sandhi, okay. Tama ahur atyantikam angaha samplavam. Okay. So here the full translation, and then we go one by meaning word by word also actually. So when in this manner, in means yad evam etena, in this way, the bondage of the self, viveka etena, brought about by the phenomenal ego, that is the ahankar, I consciousness, the undesirable one, that is a product of maya, has been cut with this sword of discrimination, and that is called viveka etena. Viveka, that is what, being able to discriminate what is right versus wrong, okay? That is what viveka etina means, purpose of that. So that our sense of being able to discriminate, you know, and then one becomes situated in immediate realization of the infallible Paramatma, that state, oh dear king, is called ultimate dissolution. So now there are several significant points in this verse, okay? So please pay close attention to what I'm saying there, alright? It took me also several times reading this verse and to understand word by word meanings actually, you know. So again, I already explained to you, yad evam etena, they're the first, okay? So in the same way, this means what? We're just pointing. This viveka etena, our sense of being able to discriminate, you know, of the self from its bondage, you know. And then this complex word, maya maya, this illusory potency, maya. Maya maya ahankarana, by this false ego, which is atmabandhanam, which is the cause. This ahankara is the cause of our atmabandhana, cause of our atmabandhana. Our bondage is material existence. So that could be chitva. So this is a sword. So it is given in a alankara, in a poetic way, it's explained now. So you imagine this as a sword. When you have a tight knot, you want to cut it off by a sword. So that is chitva. How do we can cut it off? Is atmabandhana, the bondage of a material existence, that is caused by maya maya, is by maya's ahankara. This maya maya is the quality of maya, is given this ahankara, false ego, which misidentifies ourself with this material nature, this universe and material body, you know, and that is the cause of our atmabandhana. So that we have this sense of discrimination. So we need to discriminate what is true I consciousness versus false I consciousness. Aham tattva. True aham tattva is based on spiritual level. Then aham brahmasmi, I am spirit soul, I am meant to serve Paramatma, versus the false I consciousness, this false ego based on this bodily conception of life. You know? Okay? So I am repeating myself repeatedly again and again, so that you can clearly become, it becomes crystal clear this, okay? So that Atma Bandhana, can be cut off by the sword of what? Chitva is cutting off Achyuta, infallible. We know what is infallible. Infallible is Paramatma, Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is infallible. So we have to realize Chitva Achyuta Atma Anubhavo. So Anubhav means by the direct realization of Achyuta. Here Achyuta means the super soul, Paramatma. Avatishtate, and that is we become free. You know? And then this another complex word, Tam Ahur, and that is why it is said that, like that, Atyantika among Atyantikam Angaha. Anga means here, especially Sukadeva Goswami is addressing King Parikshit. You know? So Atyantika, now we heard what is Atyantika, this is the dissolution. There are four kinds of pralaya, four kinds of dissolution. We saw it in previous classes, the daily dissolutions during Brahma's night and all that happens continuous, and then then Brahma's when 100 years is over, then the whole material universe is dissolved. But then that is again the recycle of creation takes place also. So that is in a real sense, that's not the ultimate dissolution. Ultimate dissolution when the jiva doesn't have to come back, unless he becomes Paramatma realized, and unless he becomes, his mind will push off of all material desires that is stored in his subtle body. As long as we have a subtle body, and as long as we have this material desire stored in subtle body, that takes one body to another body during transmigration into different physical forms, 8.4 billion species of life forms. So unless we dissolve off that, unless we drop off this subtle body, just like we drop the gross body, we cannot become free. So we have to purge off our mind. You know? So unless we become that, then our the material desires and the karma's reactions that remain stored and then stored in the body of Mahavishnu, in the next cycle of creation we have put back again that. So only when we can, don't have to come back again the next cycle of creation by completely becoming pure. So we need to drop off this subtle body also. So that is what is mentioned here actually. You know? So that is the final dissolution. That's called Atyantika, Atyantikam. Atyantikam dissolution is the final dissolution. Then jiva becomes Paramatma realized, then ahankar is dissolved and the true I consciousness returns, and then we go back to spiritual world. We don't have to come back, you know. So that is why it's Atyantika. That is why it is said this is the this is the final dissolution. Sample of that is possible actually, you know. So here, I just want to make sure that I explain to everything here. So here in the poetic way, it's explained this sword. This Atma Bandhan is like a tight knot. We can dissolve off, we can cut it off. What is Atma Bandhan again? Is this Ahankara, the false ego, you know. Because of this is Maya. This is the result of Maya, you know. So being able to discriminate that, you know. That can be cut off, Chitva, by Achyuta, infallible super soul, and Anubhava by the real super soul realization, Paramatma realization, Avatishtute, then we become free from that. You know? And that is what it is said, Tam Ahur, by this Atyantika final dissolution, O King Parishan, and Samplam, then we become, Samplam, then become liberated. So the pronoun Etena here is by this that we just mentioned, refers to the weapons of discrimination between the intrinsic I consciousness, that the true desirable consciousness, Aham Brahmasmi, and the false one, which is the based on this bodily conception of life, this Ahankara, you know. So we need to discriminate that, you know, and that is possible by the product of Maya. This is this phenomenal I consciousness, the bodily concept of life, then we need to cut it off, we need to dissolve off, you know. Alright? So, verb avatishtate means here the one being situated in one's own intrinsic identity. So we need to have a true ego, you know, not the false ego. So you can see that these two verses that I have discussed before and one discussed now, you know, are very, very important for us to understand our reality and how we become free, you know. Not just getting this knowledge, but we need to realize Paramatma by actually surrendering into Paramatma by realization. Jignasaya of Paramatma, this is the infallible Paramatma, super soul realization. Anubhava, by experiencing that, you know. And that's why we become free. Okay. So, this so verse 82 to 84 is very important. But even more important is now the verses now we are talking about. Okay. Here, now Vidur Mahatma is asking series of questions to his spiritual master, Vidur, this Maitreya Muni, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It goes all the way up to fourth canto, actually. You know. So, these eight questions, he asks some very, very important questions, actually. You know. And Maitreya Muni is finally going to explain to him, you know, answer them. So, verse 85 to 89 is this questions of Vidur Mahatma. How can the Nirguna Paramatma associate with the Gunas? So, Paramatma, as explained before, that is, it's devoid of all material qualities, you know, and is avikara. It is immutable. It does not undergo any kind of transformation, all these things like that. You know. How can the jiva be diluted? So, Paramatma is not affected. Only the jiva is affected by maya, you know. How is it possible? And why is Paramatma not influenced by maya? So, these are very, very important, significant questions that he is asking. In a way, these questions reminds me that you know, King Rahugana asked Jad Bharata also, if you see that. You know. There's very similar question, very similar answers are there. But here it's answered in a very, very in great depth, actually. You know. That really fascinates me, actually. You know. So, Paramatma enacts the work of creation and so on of the universe through his natural mayapur. Of course, we've seen, we've been hearing that for quite some time. And only the jiva is deluded by it, not Paramatma. So how is it possible? So Paramatma is nirguna, devoid of material qualities, and yet the Lord manifests by using this, his maya potency, and so sustaining the universe, he does by sattva guna, material mode of goodness. So that is the portion of maya, actually. So that's what Vidur Mahatma is perplexed about, that how Paramatma becomes detached even though he works through his maya's this sattva guna, and he himself is nirguna. How does he do that? How does he become, he manages to become free from the influence of even material mode of goodness? That's the point here, you know. So this is the verse that, like I said, there are series of verses, 3rd canto, 7th chapter, verses 2 through 11, actually, you know. And Maitreya Muni will answer that in verses 90, text 90 through 92, okay. So here the first one, Brahman katham bhagvatas, chin matraya matrasya, chin matrasya, avikarinaha. So I am, while reading, I am putting down this sandhi, okay, composite words. Lilaya cha api yujjarena, lilaya cha api yujjarena, nirgunasya gunaha kriya. So Vidur Mahatma is asking, O Brahmana, that means he is asking Maitreya Muni, how can Bhagavan, who is conscious alone, chin matrasya, he is nothing but pure consciousness, you know. Chit is this consciousness. Matrasya, alone, only, you know. Immutable, avikarana, you know, he doesn't go any kind of modification, you know. And free of the, so Paramatma does not undergo any kind of modification. What modifies is actually Paramatma's external potency, maya. That is this primordial material nature pradana, that becomes modified chit. Paramatma remains immutable. There is avikara. Vikara means transformation. Avikara means the opposite of that, which does not go any kind of modifications, alterations, and so on like that. And so, and free of the gunas, nirgunasya, it does not have material qualities, and yet become involved with the gunas of the functions, gunas and functions of prakriti. Like I said, material mode of goodness. Because through material mode of goodness, Paramatma sustains the universe, nourishes the universe, you know, as a matter of cosmic lila. This is his pastimes that he does that. So that is this 372, okay? Now, hold on, let's move on further. So he's asking series of questions, and we'll see how Maitreya Muni is answering that. So that is the second part of the second point I would like to. So this is why this today's lesson is so important. First part we already understood how we come into this material existence, how we become this bonded into material existence, that we already explained that, right? That we understood from those verses 82 to 84, you know. And how we can become free. Again, to repeat that, we become bonded in material existence, atma-bandhana, because of this developing this I-consciousness, aham-tattva, the false ego, ahankara. And that is the transformation of the true I-consciousness, because of this maya-maya, because of the potency of maya, you know, Krishna's, Paramatma's external potency. And that can be cut off, chitva, by using the sword of what? Achyuta Atma Anubhava, the infallible super soul, realization of that, experiencing that, then we become avatishtate, then we become free from that. You know. So that is what it is. So same way here also, now we are going to hear these verses also, very, very important verses. So please keep all this entire today's lesson is extremely, extremely important. I cannot overemphasize that. So how then could the material mode of goodness, sattva guna, be attributed to him who is devoid of any transformation, avikaranya? How could sustenance of universe through sattva be linked to him, even as a matter of his cosmic manifestation, or I'm sorry, cosmic pastimes, lilaya? So it is not just his pastimes that he's doing that, okay? Pastimes is like a play, you know, and then another verse we'll see. It's not like child's play here, you know. So while Vidura stipulates, what does it mean by stipulates? That means he understands that, is given, he knows that is given actually, that Paramatma, whose essential nature is that of consciousness alone, chit matrasya, you know, chit matrasya actually. So matrasya means alone, he is pure consciousness, Paramatma. And later on we'll hear that even jiva also is chitmatrasya, constitutively, you know. Jiva means atma as a pure self. We knew before the difference between atma and jiva. Atma is pure self, unbounded, but jiva is bounded by the maya's three modes of material nature. Same atma becomes bounded in material existence, then becomes jiva. So jiva also, we'll learn later, is also chitmatrasya. And also avikarana. Jiva also constitutively does not go any kind of modification. So while Vidur Mahatma stipulates, he understands that Paramatma, essential nature, the Swarupa Lakshana, is really pure consciousness, alone, Matrasya. Matrasya is very important, alone is very important here. Meaning that the Lord has absolutely no material modes of nature, material inherent in him. And that is Bhagavan, because Bhagavan is always possessor of six kinds of unlimited opulence. The very name Bhaga means opulence, kinds of opulence, unlimited amount, you know. So Bhagavan always remains that way. So his question remains, so even when Bhagavan comes in the form of born incarnation or incarnation, so like that, he always remains Bhagavan. In all circumstances, doesn't matter. Even through his all expansion and so on like that. So Paramatma is always also like Bhagavan, you know, in that sense. So his question remains as to how come the Lord accepts these material qualities, guna, sattva guna. And how can a conscious living entity come under the control of his mayapati? So jiva is also chinmatrasya. Jiva is also immutable. How jiva comes under the control of maya and not Paramatma. So that is his point actually, Vidur Mahatma's point. So on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami refutes Mayavad explanation. So all this while we are hearing, at the same time Jiva Goswami is also pointing out that Sugadeva Goswami is also defeating Vibhardvada philosophy. So that point is always there actually. So Brahman remains unaffected by Prakriti. Unlike what Vibhardvada philosophy said, Brahman itself becomes modified by the upadhi of this mayas, universe, material body. Okay, I hope so far all of you together with me now. Okay, so here, remember the word we saw, lilaya, by pastime. So the pastime alone is not really the cause actually here. So here, Maitreya Muni is giving an example here actually. So, I'm sorry, Vidur Mahatma is giving an example. He himself understands that actually. So lila cannot be, lila itself, pastime alone, Paramatma's pastime alone cannot be the cause behind this creation. He's saying that, Kridayam. So here Jiva Goswami is actually verse here, quoting that in text 86. Kridayam, kridayam, udyamo arbhasya. So I'm again breaking down the sandhi, okay? So that you can understand the meaning of it. Kamascha kriyas kriyashanta anyata. Kama means material desires. Kamascha chikris anyata, anyata means others, Swastraptasya cha katam nivrittasya sadayan sada anyataha. So here, the translation, child is impelled. Child actually, how does he impel to play either by his own desire to enjoy or to really enjoy his past, these games and everything like that, or seeing other child playing the same game, like my grandchild, he becomes fascinated by this different computer games and so on like that. So he plays with his sister and all, sometimes he by his own interest he'll play all these games, sometimes his sister is playing, so he becomes also induced by that interest. So that's how they playing comes into existence. So child is impelled, that's udyama. Actually the strict meaning of udyama is parishrama, endeavor. So he is endeavoring to play that. That's what the point here, So he's impelled to play, means he's forcefully impelled, to play out of his own desire or due to another child's wish to play. But how can this be so for Bhagavan? Why? Because he is fully satisfied with himself. He doesn't need to be impelled to play. He need not be forced by anything, because he is Atmarama, is fully satisfied within himself. So there is no need for him, for any other thing. So just his having this cosmic pastime itself cannot be the cause behind this creation. So Vidur Mahatma's question is, how then can the desire to play arise in the Lord prompted from something other, from some external cause, such as the jiva or the universe, Okay? So this is another verse now. Ashrakshita Bhagavan Vishwam Gunamayi Atma Mayaya. Again, I'm breaking down the sandhi. Gunamayi Atma Mayaya. Tatha samsthapyati. Tatha samsthapyati establishes. Etad Bhuya prati apidhasati. Okay? So Thus, through his Maya, through his own Maya, consisting of the three modes, Gunamayi Atma Mayaya, his Atman is his own self. Maya is his own potency. And that is, Maya is composed of the three modes of material nature. The Bhagavan creates this Vishwa, universe, through that, and establishes samsthapyati. Samsthapyati means establishes. Eta, this. Bhuya means again, prati upadhasyati. Prati apidhasyati. So through his Maya, own Maya, consider the three modes, Bhagavan created this universe, and through her, through Maya, he regulates it. Samsthapyati, establish that. And she'll cover it up once again. Prati apidhasyati. So what he does, he creates, maintains for some time, and then dissolves again. And how does he dissolve? He's completely reversing the process when he creates. The reversal of the creation process, creating process. That's how he dissolves. So apidhasyati means that actually. Prati apidhasyati. Meaning dissolution in reverse order. So the gross elements are absorbed one by one into subtle. How the creation? Subtle into gross. And dissolution, gross into subtle. Opposite exactly. So see, Vidur Mahatma is very, very knowledgeable actually. And that's why he's asking very, very intelligent questions to Vidur Mahatma. So how can Jiva be deluded by Maya? Text 88, that's what his question is that. And that's why he's asking this next verse. So there are eight verses are there, the eight questions he's asking actually. Deshata kalato yo asava avastata. Deshata kalato yo asava avastata svato anyataha avipulutat abodhatma avipulutat abodhatma sa yujita ajaya katam. So what is asking, you know, desha kala circumstances, you know, that place, the space, circumstances, and time. In all situations, in all three phases of time, past, present, and future, asava means that's what. That means the jiva, he's talking about jiva, avasthata, situated in that. Either svata by its own or anyata by others. Avipulutat, abodhatma, you know. Sa yujati ajaya means, ajaya means who is not born. And that is Maya. Maya doesn't take birth, it takes the potency of Paramatma. Katam, how is it? You know? So what he's saying that how can then one, that living entity, the jiva, atma or jiva, asava, whose consciousness is never obscured by space, time or circumstance. So in any circumstances, past, present, future, desha, kala, circumstance, so on like that, in any circumstances, his consciousness, that his chin matrasya, is never affected. That's the point here. By itself, by any other cause, external cause, and be associated with, that is, social with unborn means is Maya, Ajaya. So how is that possible? That's his point actually. This and five. Now we are going through all the questions that Vidur Mahatma is asking. And you can see he really has point there actually. And very, very difficult questions. And how does Paramatma accomplish this thing, you know? And how does Maya accomplish that? Maya is being able to control the Jiva, who is superior to herself. Because Maya is energy, superior energy. Jiva is superior energy, and Maya is this inferior energy of the Lord actually. And yet that inferior energy is being able to control the superior energy of Paramatma. So that is the picture here, okay? So this Bhagavan, so this is another verse actually. Why is Paramatma not affected by Maya? So that's also another point actually. Text 89. Bhagavan ek evesha, Bhagavan ek evesha sarva kshetre avasthita. He is all-pervading, Paramatma, super soul, is all-pervading in everywhere. Amosha dur bhagatvam, So in that manner, that way, Durbhaga, this unfortunate thing happens, you know, unfortunate existence of the jiva, va klesho, sufferings, va karmavi, due to his karmas, kutaha, that happens how? So this Bhagwan, who is one alone, exists everywhere, how then can that one, the jiva, experience misfortune and distresses as a consequence of a conditioned action karma? So point here is what he is asking, Jidur Mahatma. First, in the previous verse he already mentioned, Paramatma is totally unaffected by Maya, you know. Okay, Paramatma is Chin Matrasya and Avikarena, you know. And he's Nirguna. But the same, so Paramatma is unaffected, alright? But the jiva is affected by his karmas. That's how the Maya controls it, because of his karmic reaction, you know. And we saw before, because of the karma, this material creation takes into coming to existence, and due to Paramatma's time potency. So how is it possible? So here Supersoul is unaffected, and both Supersoul and the soul, individual soul, both reside in the same body, same heart actually, all right? And yet Paramatma is unaffected. Not only that, how Paramatma, so the point here, how is that Paramatma allows, that's the point here, Paramatma being right there in presence of him, he's sitting by us, and still Maya is able to control us, and we suffer because of our karmas. How will Paramatma let this happen? That's the point actually now. So why do this not affect Paramatma, who also resides alongside Dhana? At the same time, even Paramatma being there, jiva is affected. Maya is able to control jiva, and Maya is able to put that jiva into material miseries, klesha, while Paramatma is watching, witnessing everything. How that happens? Very, very tough questions he's asking actually. And really, you can see that very logically he's asking all these things, you know. Now you can see that how I get turned on, why I'm spending last 15 years in this deep study of this Shastra, and since how this Jiva Goswami Sandarbha is really fascinates me, you know, and the smartness, the intelligence, you know, of Jiva Goswami is really, really incredible, incredible, you know, and incredible depth is there, you know. It takes a lifetime, probably it's not enough to understand, you know, and we are trying to understand in the matter of few hours actually. But nonetheless, whatever little we understand, it is in our bank, spiritual bank. So here again, same is pertinent questions again put here in this slide, just to emphasize, you know, how can Bhagavan, who is transcendental to material nature and fully contained within himself, is Atmarama, you know. So his lila, his pastime has nothing to do with that, you know. He is not forced to enact his, this by his own choice he does that. By his own pleasure, he does that. So that itself cannot be the cause of this material creation. Just because he wants to enact pastimes, that's why he's creating materials. No, it's not like that. It is in the next week's class, we will understand that. We will hear that he is doing simply for the pleasure of his devotees, actually. He wants to save, he wants to rescue his devotees from his material shackles. That's why he's coming again and again and again. And he's creating, giving infinite opportunities for us to become purified. He is very patiently waiting for us actually now. And that's why he's doing that thing. Not because just he wants to enact this pastime. The only reason he is enacting pastime, so by that sweet pastime, simply hearing about it, jiva can become qualified to go back to the spiritual world. So that is his mercy for us actually, for his devotees. In fact, he does not come, next week we'll hear, he does not come to because remember that Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhu Nam, Vinashaya Vishkrita, Dharmasam Sthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. The three missions he has when he comes, when he descends the material world, you know, Paritranaya Sadhu Nam, to protect his devotees, then Vinashaya Vishkrita, to kill all the demons who are harassing his devotees, and then re-establishing dharma, the religious principle, these three missions here. But actually we are going to hear next week that all these things, this killing of the demons, re-establishing dharmas, everything, he could easily do it by his expansion. He doesn't have to come back himself. But he comes personally here just for the pleasure of his devotees actually. So how can Bhagavan, who is transcendental material nature and fully contained within himself, become involved in the activities related to material nature? Material nature means this universe, manifestation of the universe. If he were to play Leelaya, how could he do so with material energy? That's the point here now. So it's like, you know, playing with a fire and not being able to burn by it, you know. So how can the conscious jiva came under the illusory influence of Maya's three modes? That's another question. Both the Atma and Paramatma reside in the same body, the heart of living entity, right? Both side by side. So why is it that only the individual Atma suffers karma, makes Paramatma immune to such experience? He's simple. Actually, Atma is also witness we saw earlier, right? Constitutively, you know, when so pure Atma self is also constantly simply a witness. So that what happens in a deep sleep, when the soul is completely detached from both gross and subtle body and outside world, and yet in a deep sleep, when he wakes up, he can recall that I slept well, very well. So how does it, because that he's a witness, you know. So Maitreya Muni will now answer all these questions, beginning with verse 90, text 90 through 92. So just these questions are very important, that's why I took so much time. But now in next 15-20 minutes, we are going to discuss the answers. So obviously answers are also very, very important. Okay? So please continue to listen very, very attentively, very, very carefully. There's so much to learn here, so much to apply in your own life, and so much why I'm emphasizing over and over again that you must attend these classes regularly, every week, for your own benefit, if you want to become free, you know. I've been saying this for 15 years, and still even very, very advanced devotees, they also don't seem to understand this thing. My own team members, some of the members, you know, they just like a dropouts, you know. So you can see the pain and that's affecting my heart, you know. Okay, next PowerPoint. So here, now we are going to hear the answers, okay, by Maitreya Muni. So Maitreya Muni is beginning now. So Maya conditions the jiva by her inconceivable potency. That's the answering. When the open the question, Nir Gunasya, Paramatma is completely devoid of all material qualities, and yet he creates this material universe, and he maintains by this sattva guna, material mode of goodness, and yet he remains untouched. How is it possible? And jiva are the one only one who are affected by Maya. Paramatma remains unaffected. So how is it possible? So first he is answering how jiva being controlled by condition, be conditioned by the potency of Maya. So that is because of Maya's inconceivable potency. You know, just as Paramatma is has inconceivable potency, so Paramatma's external potency also has inconceivable potency. That's why she is able to do that. You know. Sayam Bhagavato Maya Yena Nayena Virudhyate. So this verse is really, Jiva Goswami really dissects like anything, you know. And I in a limited time period we have, I have to explain very, very quickly. He goes at much great length actually, you know. So I am going to summarize certain points that I can only discuss with you, you know. It's really, I would I wish you could go someday yourself and read and study this Sandarbhas, you know. Sayam Bhagavato Maya Yena Nayena Virudhyate Ishvarasya Vimuktasya Karpanyam Uta Bandhanam. Karpanyam Uta Bandhanam. So, which is the Bhagavan's external potency, Maya, which contradicts all logic. So, you see that just as Paramatma is beyond material logic, our logic cannot apply to Paramatma. Same way, our logic cannot be applied to Maya's function also. You know, that's called transrational. Rational means this worldly logic. Trans, that is beyond worldly logic. So Maya also operates that way. You cannot apply that to Maya's function. Yeah, because all this contradiction that Vidurvatma was saying, and yet Maya is able to do that. How is it possible? Jiva being superior energy, being controlled by the inferior energy Maya, and Jiva is also Chin Matrasya, pure consciousness, and Avikarina, just like Paramatma, is completely immutable, and yet Maya is able to control it, and even while Paramatma is watching right side by side, how is Maya is able to do that? Because Maya also has this inconceivable potency. Inconceivable potency, achintya. So just as Bhagavan Swarupa Shakti is achintya, so is that of Maya. Because ultimately Maya also belongs to Paramatma. However, Bhagavato Maya, because Maya belongs to Bhagavata, Bhagava, that's the point. However, Bhagavato Maya implies that Bhagavan owns Maya. Also, it means she is controlled by the Lord. She is not allowed as part of his Swarupa, you know. So, a nice example is given here, analogy. This author of this book explains, you know, Chittanayan Guru, that it's like a driver who owns his car, right? You know, so car belongs to him. Okay? So car will function as he wants to operate. But still, there's a difference. Car is inert material, you know. The living entity, the driver is a living entity who controls this car, you know, the same way it is here. So although logically it is impossible for the jiva, so now this slide is not there when I see you. This is my PowerPoint. I read it just a few hours back actually. Maybe I'll do it, I'll send you back again. So, just to explain this particular verse, how deep meaning is in this verse. Let me again go back to that verse. Okay? Sayam Bhagavato Maya Yena Nayena Virudhyate Ishvarasya Vimuktasya Karpanyam Uta Bandhanam. Bhagavan's eternal potency Maya, which contradicts all logic. Yena Nayena Virudhyate. Virudhyate means it just defies logic, you know. And Maya is Bhagavan's Maya, you know. Ishvara and Jiva is also Ishvara. Ishvara means the controller. Of course, Jiva is controller, just like the Paramatma. The Paramatma is supreme controller, where Jiva is a minute controller, okay? So Ishvarasya is controller, and he is also Vimuktasya. He is also fully liberated in the sense as Atma. Atma is fully liberated. And yet, Karpanim Utbandhanam, yet he is being conditioned, Bandhanam, by Maya. How is it possible? So that's the point, okay? So let's see how this verse Jiva Goswami is explaining that. Although logically it is impossible for the Jiva, who is also Chin Matrasya, could come under Maya. So logically, it defies logic, material logic. How is it possible Jiva, who is superior energy, he is also pure consciousness, and he is avikarana also, and yet the inferior energy, Maya, is able to control the Jiva. So the Jiva would lose its pure consciousness, pure awareness, yet such is the case because of the inconceivable power of Maya. That's the point here. Okay? One of the quiz, the quiz question I asked you is about that. So the answer is this: Jiva's inconceivable power, just like Paramatma. But how does it? How does she do that? So does this mean that avidya, potency of Maya, that is responsible for the Jiva's bondage? Is that the cause? Because it looks like that, right? It's the avidya which we saw in earlier. Remember, Maya has two divisions: Guna Maya and Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Jiva Maya, what she does by the avidya potency. Now, avidya potency is also two kinds, actually, right? It covers its true knowledge and gives the false knowledge, right? So Jiva Maya does that, and Guna Maya provides the objects of material enjoyment. So here, so obviously it looks like the Maya is the cause. Maya's avidya potency must be the cause of the Jiva's bondage in material existence. No, the answer is no. Because if that is so, it is not through her own independent initiative, actually, that the living entity is compelled to do so, because his bondage is beginningless. Why? The answer is this. Because when did we come in material existence? No one can say. It is time immemorial. So if we say that Jiva's avidya potency put him under bondage, that means at some point in time, Jiva, Maya did that. But cannot be. That's not the point. So that is not possible. It is because of her transrational, beyond his worldly logic, power alone, actually. And Jiva Goswami breaks the sandhi of the composite words, this yan nayana virudhyatere. Okay? Let's see, very interesting way it does that, actually. And completely opposite meanings, actually, you know. It is really incredible, really incredible. So, in two ways he does that. And that is what Sanskrit language is very complex in that sense, actually. You can have completely different meaning. And that's why Mayavadis quote sometimes the same verse, but they will explain it in a completely different way. And that's the reason we saw earlier how Jiva Goswami is pointing out how the true meaning should be guessed by when a direct meaning does not make sense, then its indirect meaning must be taken, actually, you know. So here are the two ways he does that. Yan nayana virudhyate. So the word nayana, he breaks apart in two different ways. The first, yat nayana, nayana means, here means, yat means that, you know, which is contrary, virudhyate means contrary to logic. So here, word nayana is used to mean logic. So it is contrary to material logic. That's the way it is interpreted, okay? Now the another way of breaking down the sandhi nayana, yad nayana. Nayana means nayana. That means with whom. Yad means with whom. With whom means Bhagavan. Here it's negated. So with whom there is no opposition. So here the second meaning by which more information is given here. That means Maya, with whom, so Maya has no opposition to Paramatma, and she controls Jiva, but not Paramatma. That's the meaning Jiva Goswami uses in that way, actually. So one way she is able to control Jiva is because of her inconceivable potency, achintya potency. Okay, achintya shakti, and the same way, the same word broken in different way to mean that she is unable to control Paramatma because she is owned by Paramatma. So there is no opposition to Paramatma. Maya being, and of course another reason is that Maya is the shadow of Bhagavan. Remember in Srila Jiva Goswami, I'm sorry, Srila Vyasadeva's trance, samadhi, he could have the Lord, all his expansion, everything, including his potencies. So there he saw them, was in the background. Maya could not dare to come in front of Paramatma. So Maya is actually shadow of Paramatma. So shadow cannot touch the original.
But shadow can affect others. You know, shadow can overshadow somebody else in that field actually. So Maya can control jivas, but Maya cannot touch Paramatma. That's another example also. So the conscious jiva coming under the sway of Maya is due to her transrational power. That's how Jiva Goswami is saying that. Transrational power means beyond rational logic. It's not irrational, remember that. No, not irrational. It is logic, but not of this world. It's transcendental logic. So why is the jiva referred to as Ishvara? Jiva is also controller in a small way, but nonetheless it is a controller, ruler. This is because it has the potential to regain the lost, regain which is lost at present because of association with Maya. So see that very important point here actually. Just because we are bound by Maya, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to remain bound. We have the potency, we have the power to become free. That's the point here. So that controlling element within the very constitution of ourselves as Atma, by which we can really become free. What we can lost as a result of associating with Maya. And the jiva is also called vimukta, liberated, because its bondage is not real. That's the next point we are going to hear about. That bondage is real and apparent, not real. And we just already talked about Maya's two divisions, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Jiva Maya conceals its knowledge and Guna Maya presents the object of enjoyment. But just because it conceals knowledge and we regain the knowledge itself is not going the cause of our liberation. As unlike what the Mayavadis says that, you know, by studying Vedanta we become free. No, just become studying Vedanta you can don't become free. So this is another verse now. This is the now text 91 actually, and yet Jiva Goswami quoting another verse that is again from Maitreya Muni. Yad arthena vinamushya vina amushya pumsa atma viparya prati yat upadrashtuhu swasira chedana adhika. Now here, to make that point home, Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse, Maitreya Muni is quoting, is giving an analogy here.
Okay, let's see.
What is the translation? It is because of this Maya that the self, the Atma, assumes a positionality, position means that kind of situation, that is contrary to its inherent nature. Inherently, he is Chin Matrasya, pure consciousness, avikarna, immutable, and he is superior energy. Yet he takes the position of being coming under the control of Maya, which is the inherent nature, just as it appears as a witness of the dream stage. That happens, it's not a reality, but it seems like that way, because same way like in a dream state, when we are dreaming, as if our head is chopped off. And so we are seeing our head is being chopped off. Is that possible in reality? Cannot be. Because our eyes are in the head and head is being chopped off. How can we see that? It cannot be. Immediately you are dead. So how can you see yourself when your head is chopped off? In fact, in a while in a Jagrut Avastha, our eyes cannot see our head. Right? Eyes can see surrounding things, but it cannot see the self. You know? So it's not possible. Only in the dream state the illusory things become seems like a reality. So that's what he's saying, that he is coming under the control of Maya's influence, being bonded is not a reality, but it is like a dream state, you know. So when you wake up, you realize that you are not bound. So waking up, that quote unquote waking up, is that Paramatma realization that I'm talking about in devotional service. That is the waking up, you know. So he has beheaded and other similar contradictions, even though such dream cognitions are without reality. So that's why this one analogy that he gives, okay? He's going to give another analogy also. So it is not possible for the jiva to lose its inherent nature, to always remain free, you know? It's like Paramatma, which is consciousness and self-awareness, and becomes bound by the modes of material nature. That is simply not possible. However, it is possible just as in a dream state. There is no reality. It is the very nature of avidya to keep the jiva in darkness about the reality. See that? That's what Maya does that. Maya keeps us in this dream state. So whatever we experience, everything, oh, I've got a deadline to meet. Oh, now that in the US, now we have to return our tax returns. April 15 is coming fast. And all of us actually in the US are in tremendous anxiety, you know, to meet the deadline to submit our tax returns and so on like that. Now I'm attending college also to prepare for my GRE, because I want to do another PhD and get admitted in a top Ivy school league, you know. So I want to do very well, so I'm attending colleges also. And of course, college, my professor gives lots of homework. And I'm giving you this quiz, and none of you like it, you know. Because homework, no one likes it, and yet one has to do it in order to. This is the only way to assess how much did we learn in reality. So I also have lots of homework to do, actually, you know. A tremendous amount of homework, actually, you know. Every day I work like 5-6 hours, solve all these problems and so on. Like, I do a lot more than what my professor asked me to do, actually. That's exactly what Sarat Prabhu is doing, actually. What I'm asking him to do in these quizzes, he does a lot more than what I ask. And that's why he's my favorite student, actually. You know? Prabhu, you are really incredible, Sarat Prabhu. You know? And your example is being followed up by others like Lalita Mataji, you know, and others. They are also doing. Even though they don't have time, they have to do a lot of temple worship and everything like that, still they manage to solve these quizzes. So it's a shame to all of you, the senior team members of my team, who are not bothered to do, who don't care to do these things, you know. It's a really shame on you, you know. I'm very sorry to say that, but you see, this is the only way you're going to learn. You don't gain unless there's a pain. They say that, right? So I also have to do lots of homework, you know. And here also we said, we don't do this thing. So it is not possible for the jiva to lose its inherent nature, which is consciousness and self-awareness, and becomes bound by the modes of material nature. So our bandhanam, atma bandhanam, is not a reality. It's just apparent, you know. It's a dream state. So we need to wake up. You know, waking up means really study Paramatma Sandarbha, the Sandarbhas. Deeply do all the homework, because in our, this is a part of our waking up process, actually, you know. Okay, the second analogy he gives, okay. Yatha jale chandramasaha kampadi stakrito gunaha drashyate asannapi drashtur atmano na atmano gunaha. So just as the shimmering of the moon observed in water comes about due to the attributes of the water, so the attributes of the non-self, the body, seems to belong to the self, the witness, although they do not factually exist in it. It's a very nice example. See, sometimes when you see the moon itself is in the space, right? Moon does not move like that. But the moon's image, reflection, in a body of water like a lake, you know, there you see this, the image of the moon is shimmering, it's waving like waves, you know, because of the water displacement by the wind, the waves happening because of the wind. That's why you see the image is flickering, you know, wavering, you know. So that's not a reality, actually. So the same way, so Jiva Goswami is explaining, so translation, just as the shimmering of the moon observed in water comes about due to the attributes of the water, so the attributes of the non-self, the body, seems to belong to the self. the witness, all the witness, the Atma means, although they do not factually exist in it. So Jiva Goswami is explaining how it is that Maya is able to influence the Jiva but not Bhagavan, because the Lord has his intrinsic potency which is beyond logic and surprise and supremely powerful, and so he cannot be subdued by the external potency Maya, even though she too is powerful and inconceivable, being his potency. So I added another new slide here, just to explain this point, okay? And I'll get a revised PowerPoint. I'll send you again. So here I'm trying to explain the analogy as I'm understanding, okay? So moon is the pure self as compared to Atma, okay? So the reflection of the moon, the water that we see, the shimmering image of the water, that is the conditioned Jiva. So Atma versus Jiva here, okay? Jiva is under the condition, being bound by the modes. So water surface in which the reflection appears is compared to the changes in the subtle physical body, subtle psychical body, atmaika, adhyatmaika, of the jiva through sense perception by the ripples themselves. So sense perception is by ripples, ripples forming that. So lake, the reservoir of the water that we see here, that is compared to the gross physical body. So the wind, which causes the ripples, do the wind actually, the waves happening in the water surface, and that's why this image, because the image itself, reflection itself cannot wave, cannot shimmer by itself. It gives the appearance of shimmering appearance is because the water forming waves become the wind actually. So that is compared with that sense objects. Because when we are attracted to sense objects, that's how our true self is happening like that. You know? So the ripples have no bearing on the moon, but causes the reflected moon to appear to move. Moon itself in the space does not move itself, that we know that, right? But its image is wavering. You know? The same way the Atma itself is unaffected. But the Jiva, the Atma is now bound to the three modes of material and the Maya's influence, that we become swayed, the rippling effect, because the sense objects. When we see a beautiful girl, we become completely agitated, That's because of so ripples have no bearing on the moon, but because the cause of the reflected moon to appear to move. Although even the reflection does not do so in reality, it only appears to move because of the displacements of the water due to the wind. Similarly, the jiva identifies with the ahankara in the subtle body. Ahankara is in the subtle body, manabuddhi ahankara, which surcharged by the authentic I consciousness. It's surcharged by it because the ahankara, when it comes, it must occupy the consciousness based on the spirit soul. So that self gives replaced by this ahankara. That's why it happens that. So this is the play of Maya. This is where the Maya operates actually. So it is the jiva that enters into Maya and not the vice versa. It's not a Maya enters into Jiva. The Jiva enters into Maya. Very, very important points here actually to learn. So Bhagavan has his intrinsic potency which is beyond logic and supremely powerful, and so he cannot be subdued by external potency Maya. So this explains again why Paramatma is not affected. So driver in the car actually, car must obey to the driver, not the other way around. Even though she is also powerful and inconceivable, being his own energy. So the quiz question, that of course is just a revision of what we just talked about. How the bondage of the jiva can be possible at all when the latter is superior to Paramatma's external potency is because of this Maya's transrational human this translational logic, you know, this beyond human logic. Okay, because Bhagavan is fully satisfied within himself, Atparama, what could possibly impel him to create the cosmos in the first place? This is because of out of love for. Now this question is actually belongs to the next class, next week's class. So hold on to that. It is the Vibhartavadi contention that Jiva's bondage is due to his ignorance upon being enlightened of Brahman realization by the study of Vedanta and practice of meditation. But his illusory pursuit of material world would be dissipated. That's how they are saying that. But Jiva Goswami is showing that not really. There is no necessity for that. What is then actually needed? Explain the analogy offered in this context. So no one, the answer is here. No one can become liberated by his own endeavor. We cannot become liberated by our own endeavor. Devyesha gunamai mama maya durataya mamayo prapadante mam etam darandite mam cho vibhicharana bhakti yogena sevate sa guna samatitya itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That's those verses from Gita. So if the vision of the sun is covered by the dense cloud, which is the result of the sun's own heat energy, the eyes have no power to dispel it. So eyes itself, or eyes cannot see unless sun uncovers the cloud actually. So sun alone can dispel the cloud. Once the cloud is dispersed, there is light, the eyes can then function. Similarly, in our conditioned state, we have no power to become released from our own conditioning. Even when situated in knowledge, so we cannot become free. Knowledge itself cannot set us free, because knowledge too is part of Maya. Because this is Sattva-guna. Even if one realizes that he is not the body and thus becomes Jivan Mukta, we cannot attain freedom from Ahankar Tattva. We have to become what? Remember that Chitva. What is that composite word? Chitva, Achyuta, Anubhava, Avatishtati. That's why it is. That's how it is. So this undesirable eye consciousness must be replaced back to true eye consciousness. How can the Nirguna Paramatma associate with gunas? Where Maya there is under its shelter, which consists of the three modes of material nature, Paramatma regulates it and causes the universe to become manifest in the reverse order. See, exclusively all consciousness, chin matrasya, immutable, remains untouched by the guna, the reflection of Lord. So reflection cannot touch the original, but it can shadow, overshadow others. How can Jiva be deluded? That we saw that it is the through Jiva's two divisions, Jiva Mind Brahma, that I have explained already. Why is Paramatma not influenced by Maya? If the light of the sun reflects into a person's eye, converts the vision and simultaneously presents a polychromatic display, but the reflection cannot touch the sun. Similarly, Maya can influence the Jiva but not Paramatma. He owns and controls Maya. How does Maitreya Muni explain that Jiva's bond is not real, rather it is apparent? He's giving these two analogies. Best, this is the best way to understand that. You know, the first analogy is about that. This is a dream state. Unreality becomes reality, you know. And this is the shimmering of the moon. Okay? So I'll stop here and see if there are questions. Sorry about that, I'm taking a little bit more time. So Dishana is saying that she may not be able to do Nrisimha Kirtana. I hope Makarand Prabhu is there. Makarand Prabhu, I hope you are able to do that. Thank you, Dishana. Okay, so time is up.
Makarand Prabhu, I hope you are able to.
That's right. Makarand Prabhu, could you please do the Nrisimha Prayer, please?